On today's very special pregame festivities episode of Locked On Pirates, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith, is talking about how the Pittsburgh Pirates can end their losing skid against the Washington Nationals today as Jose Quintana faces off against Patrick Corbin, and why the Pirates' four-game losing streak will end tonight against the Nationals, as well as highlighting some of your comments and answers on today's Twitter Tuesday question. We are live during this podcast on YouTube, but you can find this podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. And today's episode is also brought to you by Blue Nile. More on them later. And thank you for making me your first listen of the day every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan or at Locked On Pirates, as you always can. Comments will be displayed on the screen, so keep it fun, keep it simple. And with that said, let's get into today's episode.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to that Locked On Pirates podcast. Hope you all are having a phenomenal day here on the Locked On Pirates podcast. My name is Ethan Smith, your host who does the most. Hope you all again are having a phenomenal Tuesday as we are rearing towards the end of June. And realistically, the Pirates are stumbling out of June the way that you didn't want them to. So far on a four-game losing streak, which has featured losses to the Tampa Bay Rays and the Washington Nationals alike. And right now, this Pirates team, it's not like they're getting blown out in these games, right? They are losing these games with blown leads. They're losing these games by short runs. And you look at what the Pirates have done on this four-game skid, not losing by multiple runs in any of the games except Sunday when they lost 4-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays in a game where Diego Castillo just missed a tag on Randy Arozarena, who had a phenomenal play, may I add, on that. But, of course, they lose 3-2 last night to the Washington Nationals. Chris Stratton gives up the home run to Franco in the eighth inning, which was the real backstabber after a 2-0 lead and a phenomenal O'Neill Cruz home run that everybody fawned over, hitting it 408 feet at a launch angle that just made no sense for a ball going 408 feet. Chris Stratton, of course, picked up the loss there. Two earned runs across his tenure in the game yesterday. So how do the Pirates end this four-game skid and four of their last five where the result of the game has been two runs or less? Well, on the hill tonight, as you heard in the intro, is Jose Quintana facing off against Patrick Corbin. So the Pirates definitely have the pitching advantage here against the Washington Nationals, I'd say. Quintana, of course, not been as sharp as of late from what we are used to seeing from him. But, you know, you continue to make things work with Jose Quintana and how things continue to roll. But at the end of the day, it's very difficult to assume that Patrick Corbin is going to give the Nationals a crazy play, you know? And it also is a little unfortunate right now because last night a lot of people were wondering, well, why is David Bednar not in the lineup? And about 30 minutes before we started recording today, Derek Shelton said that David Bednar has been dealing with a lower back issue and they're trying to avoid an IL stint, but he will not be available tonight, which is very unfortunate because Bednar, despite that blown save that he had against the Tampa Bay Rays, has otherwise been an all-star, in my opinion, as I changed the background a little bit. Forgot that Gary is not here, so I forgot to change the background. But Patrick Corbin has given up a way more amount of hits than Jose Quintana, with only three more innings pitched, 104-69, to give you an idea. Quintana, in those three less innings, has two less strikeouts, five less walks, and six less home runs allowed. So again, the Pirates have the advantage here when it comes to the pitching matchup. Now, we'll see if they get that Jose Quintana that they've been used to and accustomed to. And when you look at the Nationals lineup, it features Lane Thomas, Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Nelson Cruz, Michael Franco, Cesar Hernandez, Alcides Escobar, Adams, and Victor Robles. The Pirates sporting Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Michael Chavis, Josh Van Meter is a DH, Diego Castillo, Jack Sawinski, Tyler Heineman, and Hoy Park. So the lineup continues to change a little bit as these young players continue to progress. Brian Reynolds, by the way, who I predicted would have a pretty big series on Sunday, having looked at his career against Corbin, it features 8 at-bats, but he's 3 for 8, 1 RBI, only 1 strikeout there. Michael Chavis is 1 for 3 over time against Patrick Corbin. But then you look versus Jose Quintana, and this lineup actually has some experience against Quintana, but it's not very good experience. Josh Bell is 2 for 16 against Jose Quintana on his career. Nelson Cruz is the main guy who has a lot of success, 8 for 25 over his career, sporting a .320 average against Quintana. Cesar Hernandez, 4 of 15, and then Alcides Escobar, 19 of 68. So some experience against the veteran pitcher, which is expected against a guy like Jose Quintana. But again, when you're looking at it for the most part, going into the second game of the series, one, your goal is to split the series. The Pirates need to end the losing streak. They need to split the series, right? The offense has to wake up. I know they've kept these games close. The pitching staff has done a phenomenal job in doing so over these last couple of games, the last 5 games in particular. But you have to, at some point, start producing some offense. I mean, you look since that Thursday win against the Cubs where they scored 8 runs in a series where the offense was on fire. They scored 3 runs on Friday against the Rays, 2 runs on Sunday, or 2 runs on Sunday, and 5 runs on Saturday, losing all three of those games by two runs or less. Yes, they're in these games, but these are also games they should be winning, and arguably were in a position to win. So that's what I would say here for the Pirates is, once again, keep doing what you're doing. You're putting yourself in a position to win these ball games. Pitch effectively, which I think Jose Quintana against this lineup should pitch effectively in a lineup for the Nationals, whose highest batting average is currently Josh Bell at .309, the next highest being Cesar Hernandez at .261. So not exactly the most crazy lineup that you're going to be facing, but Quintana can't win this game for you single-handedly. That's what I would say here. You're going to need some offensive output, and I'm looking at O'Neill Cruz again to do so. He finally got his first home run of the year last night. That top three, I think, is going to be the most important part of this game. And it's always very interesting to consider from the Pirates when you're talking about those top three, like Hayes, Reynolds, Cruz. If they don't get it done, then who does? Well, that's where guys can step up. And, of course, Kegels Bagels, regular here whenever we do these live streams, says, "What's up, Ethan? Looking for a Chavis big game tonight versus a left-handed pitcher," which I also am. And that's what I was just about to get into, actually, was Hayes, Reynolds, and Cruz being that top three. I think Chavis is going to play a major part in this game because O'Neill Cruz against a lefty, kind of, sort of, a mismatch, but is there really a mismatch for O'Neill Cruz? We haven't really figured that out yet. But Michael Chavis and, you know, Josh Van Meter even, another guy I think that could potentially help out a little bit. Bats lefty, but he throws righty. We'll see. Because the bottom of that lineup is very lefty-oriented. Josh Van Meter, Jack Sawinski, Hoy Park. Very lefty-heavy lineup. We've seen that all year. So I'm expecting Key Brian Hayes and Brian Reynolds to have very big games tonight, and they're going to need to have big games tonight because, as I mentioned before, they've been in positions to win these games. They just have to hold the leads. And you can blame the relief pitching all you want. You really can. Go for it. They are to blame in some sense. They're the ones blowing the leads on the mound. But you have to get some offensive output to win this game tonight. And I think they do. I think the Pirates offense is going to explode on Patrick Corbin tonight. I'd say 6 runs are over. I think the Pirates are in a very good position to do that. And we should expect it against a guy who has a 6.6 6.0 ERA and a 1.79 whip in Patrick Corbin. But my score prediction for tonight for Pirates and Nationals, 7.05 Eastern, coming a little bit over an hour from this live stream. I think the Pirates are going to win this game 7-2. I think Jose Quintana is going to pitch five or six good innings of baseball, giving up a run or two. I think the bullpen is going to back him up tonight. I'm not expecting another blown save. I think they'll get a comfortable lead once the bullpen gets involved. And I'm very much expecting the Pirates to split and win this series. I think they also win tomorrow as well. But with that said, you never know. The Pirates could be looking for jewelry pretty soon if the prospects continue to come up and do well, and that's where they could head to Blue Nile. Of course, BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler where you could celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. There are two parts to this business, wedding jewelry and everyday fine jewelry. So, of course, you know, it's always nice to shop for both of these things, because Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose a diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring, and each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Pirates listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement, so use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON, plus every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace, and go to BlueNile.com today. Today's episode is also brought to you by the wonderful car helpers of Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30 or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store and $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That is rockauto.com. And of course, I did pose a question to all of you wonderful listeners of the Locked On Pirates podcast today on Twitter. Gotta love it. I love when you guys are able to engage as you're engaging right now on the live stream. And the tweet says, and I quote, "It's Twitter Tuesday. Today's question: what player, Pirates players within reason, have the most trade value, and who are some players within reason you'd like to see the Pirates pursue at the trade deadline? Answers, of course, will be featured on today's podcast," which is what we are going to do now. So we're going to look at some of these replies here. Pirates Drew, of course, love the guy. He's an awesome guy on Pirates Twitter. Says, "I love your idea of Alejandro Kirk from Toronto. The way he's performing now, I don't think that's going to happen. Hopefully they don't overvalue him based off of his season, though. Luis Campusano from San Diego and Bautista Tate or Wells from the Orioles bullpen might be interesting. I just don't know if the Orioles would be okay trading them since they're in a rebuild." I love the idea of Luis Campusano, but as Gary has alluded to with the upcoming offseason trade deadline, all that stuff, the Pirates looking for a catcher is going to be very interesting, because you have Henry Davis in the wings probably as soon as next year. So you don't want to get a guy that's going to stopgap him from starting. Now, Luis Campusano, on one hand, might not be that guy. to stopgap him, but he is a highly touted prospect in San Diego system, and you're probably going to have to trade something pretty big to San Diego to pry away Luis Campusano. But I do like the idea of talking to the Orioles about Bautista, Tate, and Wells in their bullpen. Talking to a team that's kind of in the Pirates' same boat about a reliever, I'm not really against that. And me and Gary talked a little bit about this yesterday about prospects the Pirates aren't using or have nowhere to play, like a Travis Swaggerty, like a Jiwon Bae, like a potentially Matt Gorski, Carmen Majinski, you know, a lot of these guys that might get lost in the fold with the plethora of prospects that are coming up. And I enjoy that because it might give the Pirates flexibility at the trade deadline, as I've alluded to be buyers rather than be just sellers. Now, they are going to sell some pieces off, I'm pretty sure. I'd like to see them keep Ben Gamel, but it would not surprise me if they traded him away. Chris Stratton is another guy I think that could be on the move. And none of these guys, I think, are going to be guys the Pirates lose that the fan base is going to be outraged by. It's not going to be like Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon, and Josh Bell whenever these guys were traded. It was like, oh, these are actually really good MLB-ready players that are starters every day, day in and day out. Even Clay Holmes last year, for example, when the Pirates traded him, it made sense. They stunk, and he gave them value back. The value since has not been that great in Castillo and Hoy Park, but, you know, there's still a lot to be said about both of their careers. So I think it's very valid to bring up the Orioles and other teams like that, especially with relief help, because the Pirates need pitching very, very badly. And I think it's going to be very nice if they do decide to go that route. Do I expect them to go that route? I'm not really sure, but I would love to hear more of your opinions on that. Even Paul says from the Paul also says, even he says, you know, from the players that may be available for trade, I would say David Bednar could have the most value. I would like to see the Pirates trade for Paul Blackburn. He's having a breakout season this year and has 3 years of control left. So I did like the idea of Paul Blackburn from the Oakland Athletics. I love the idea of the Pirates potentially bringing him in. I do think a lot more teams in the playoff hunt will be after him, but if the Pirates can give the Athletics, who are in a full rebuild and probably not ending that rebuild for a while, a good offer, Paul Blackburn, I think, would fit perfectly amidst this rotation. You're looking so far at his stats this year, saying he's having a breakout year, which he most definitely is. 3.12 ERA, 1.19 whip, 6-3 record, 62 strikeouts, 28 earned runs over that tenure. But a 3.12 ERA is phenomenal. You even look at where he was a couple starts ago, he has kind of struggled a little bit more. His ERA has been as low as a 1.7 at one point this year, and he's only 28. And as Paul alluded to, he does still have 3 years of control left. And if the Pirates are going to go buy for guys, that's what they need to be looking for. They need to be looking for these guys that have team control left. You don't want to go get a, just for lack of a better example, Aaron Judge, who's going to be a free agent next year. Obviously, Aaron Judge is going to probably win AL MVP and has a chance to break a lot of records this year if he continues on pace. But look at what the Mets did last year getting Javi Baez. They go get Javi Baez. He was a free agent going into this year. Even the Giants did this with Chris Bryant last year as well. A lot of teams did this with a lot of the guys that the Cubs moved on from. Anthony Rizzo happened to stay in New York, but the one thing I don't like the teams do is when they go get a guy who's on the final year of his deal to make a playoff push, and then he doesn't come back. So now you basically failed in the pursuit of a playoff push, and you've lost prospects of value. So if they're going to trade for a guy like a Paul Blackburn, which I am on board for, Paul, I'm going to definitely talk about this closer to the trade deadline if he's made available, that the Pirates should be calling the Athletics about him. If you're going to go get a guy like that, there's some value to be had there on both ends. I think the Pirates could definitely package like a Travis Swaggerty, maybe another two prospects in there for Blackburn, one of the pitching prospects that I mentioned earlier. I'd see no issue in that. I don't know if Pirates fans would, but you'd be getting a guy who right now has a sub-3.5 ERA, has had a breakout year. He's right around the age range that JT Brubaker's in. He's 28 years old. He still has 3 years of control until his age 31 season. I love the idea of doing that. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I think the Pirates should pounce on that idea, even because the other thing is too, again, you're not winning anything this year. You've kind of already shown that with your record, but why not at least be better? And Blackburn inserts himself in there. Zach Thompson, who's currently on the IL, has time to come back. It's food for thought. It's a food for thought kind of thing. We move on to Waffles. Great name, by the way, Waffles. Brian Reynolds definitely has the most value, and I'd love to see us trade some prospects and get a young pitcher who's good and already playing right now. I love that idea as well, if the Pirates wanted to do that. Now, if you look at some of the prospects right now that are doing well across baseball, there's a plethora of them, too many to name on this podcast, and that's for a whole nother episode when I actually get closer to the trade deadline. I'm going to handpick some players I'd love to see the Pirates go get that are also being rumored to be traded and that scouts and agents and teams are inquiring upon, because we're close to the deadline, but we're also far from it still. But it's still, again, great food for thought to bring this up. Brian Reynolds, again, yes, most value, I would say, on this team, more than likely. Of course, Bednar being a top 10 reliever in baseball as far as ERA goes over the calendar year, you know, it's very nice to assume that he would be the best option, but Brian Reynolds would just offer any team that he's on, including the Pirates, a different dynamic of a great defensive center fielder, switch hitting batter, who is on the ascension, as we've seen lately. He's up to a 2.5 batting average, which you're very, very, very happy with if you're the Pirates based off of the way he started the year. I just still don't see the Pirates trading him after buying out his arbitration years. You still have another 2 years of control after this to worry about him. You can choose to extend him in that period of time. You can choose to trade him in that period of time if you like to, because the way he's playing right now, I don't exactly see Brian Reynolds going on a dissension anytime soon, if that makes sense. I don't think he's going to just hit that wall and then all of a sudden just not be a good baseball player anymore. You know what I mean? And I like the idea as well of that. And it's one of those things where when you look at it with Reynolds, if the package is right, you take it. That's probably a very unpopular opinion to say, oh yeah, trade Brian Reynolds, who you just extended earlier this year to avoid arbitration. But again, if you're getting, say, a top 10 prospect in a team system or you're expecting a top 100 prospect no matter what. That's the bare minimum for Brian Reynolds. You have to know that if you are wanting Brian Reynolds from the Pirates, I mean, you looked at it last year when he was in his all-star year and having the best season of his career. Ben Cherington was asking for two top 100 prospects. I would even go as far to say that hasn't changed that much. Albeit Reynolds, from this year to last year, has not been near as good, but he's still a very good baseball player. He would still ascend a team that's on the, to me, he would ascend a team that's on the bubble to make the playoffs to over that. And is that something the Pirates take into account, that a team might overpay for Brian Reynolds? Because you're asking of a lot already. Teams might be able to meet that for you. But what if a team comes at you with two top 100 prospects, a top 10 prospect in their system, and an MLB-ready player for Reynolds? What do the Pirates do in that? Do they hold serve, or do they trade them off? So, of course, yes, Reynolds does have the most value. And Michael from the 412 Double Play podcast gave a very in-depth answer on this. I loved it. He even brought up specific teams and players that are guys that he would like to go into. But before we get into that, if you are betting, like I am, on the Pittsburgh Pirates ending their four-game skid tonight in the nation's capital, make sure you go do it at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the Stanley Cup Final, which just ended the other day. Congrats to the Colorado Avalanche. Shouts out to Locked On Avs as well. And, of course, Major League Baseball every day. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And BetOnline.net is also the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. And BetOnline, of course, is where the game starts. Again, we are live. Pre-game vibes as we're a little under an hour away from Pittsburgh and Washington in Washington, D.C., game two of this series. But again, going back to today's Twitter Tuesday question for everybody that's new and might not have seen it. Today's question, what Pirates players within reason have the most trade value and who are some players within reason you'd like to see the Pirates pursue at the trade deadline? And of course, these answers have all been featured on today's podcast. But we're going to get into Michael. 412 Double Play podcast and co-host of that podcast now on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We love shouting out other Pirates podcasts here on the channel. Love having all great Pittsburgh podcasts. But Michael begins this thread that I really, really enjoyed. He put some really big in-depth answers here. Reynolds and Bednar probably have the most value, but unlikely they get dealt unless it's a huge overpay. I agree there, Michael, as I just alluded to before the break. Quintana, Gamble, and Vogelbach, only dealable vets, but won't get a ton out of any of them. Possible that Gamble goes to the Padres, Daniel Vogelbach to the Phillies, and Quintana to maybe Boston or Cleveland. And he has a question mark, so I'll answer that. I mean, Gamble to the Padres makes sense. Gamble to any team that's contending really makes sense. He's a great fourth outfielding option for any team. He provides defense. He provides a left-handed bat off the bench, especially with a plethora of right-handed closers around the league now. That's a very big commodity to have a left-handed hitter off the bench like that. Vogie to the Phillies, I'm not really sure. And Quintana to Boston or Cleveland makes sense. Both of those teams are kind of in that wild card race right now. Both need some help with pitching. I'm still stuck on the Quintana to the New York Mets fantasy. I think that thing's going to happen because the Mets lately are just going to be looking for starting pitching. Scherzer's on the back on the IL. DeGrom has stayed on the IL. Chris Bassett even has been off and on the IL, from what I know. It's going to be tough to not see somebody possibly go there. One random thing I heard on the broadcast last night is the Nats are one of the best teams in the league at putting balls in play. Pirates strike out among the most in the league. Guys we looked at adding should try to fix that. I agree with that actually a lot. I mean, you know, the Pirates and the strikeout ball have always been an interesting relationship. It's a love-hate relationship because they've had really good strikeout pitchers in the past and they've had really bad hitters who strike out a lot in the past. Gregory Polanco comes to mind immediately, Pedro Alvarez. And this team especially does struggle a lot offensively, and that's one of my keys to victory tonight and why I think they're going to end the four-game skid. But we get back to Michael real quick. He said he would target non-Rule 5 eligible pitchers in return to build more depth in lower levels and not clog the roster spaces for crunch this fall, which is a big thing I think the Pirates are going to have to worry about this fall is, okay, you've seen full years from Castillo, Sawinski, Mitchell, like a lot of these guys. Now it's time to make a decision. And when do you make that decision? And the crunch that he's talking about is only going to get worse next year when a lot of these prospects continue to come up. So he mentions some teams here. As he mentioned already, the Padres, the Guardians, and the Phillies. Andrew Baker, solid fastball, curveball mix. Able to touch 99, but biggest issue is control. I would like to add a slider or a change up his middle speed pitch to complement his 50% ground ball rate. He was a 2021 draft pick, so not Rule 5 eligible until 2024. He then brings up the Padres, saying he likes Matt Waldron. Is Rule 5 eligible this fall, but added a knuckleball and is absolutely mowing down opponents now. An atypical K-ball. Yeah, I guess, as he has a mid-90s fastball with a good slider and decent changeup. Also like Chase Walter, 6'7", 260, started season injured, ton of potential. And then, of course, Trenton Denholm from the Guardians, mid-90s fastball, solid curve and strong change, crushing A-ball, expendable for a team who's looking to contend now with an unexpectedly competitive team. I love those answers. I love that. And I think that's what the Pirates are going to be looking to do at the trade deadline. Find these teams that could be looking to trade lower in the system, which, looking at the timeline of things, the Pirates prospects that are lower in the system now will be upper in the system. So that's what you want to do. You want to create a revolving door of these prospects. You've already seen wave one with O'Neill Cruz, Contreras, Castillo, Sawinski, the name, you already know all the names. Then you have the next wave, which is going to be Priester, Thomas, Majinski, Gonzalez, Peguero, Davis, those guys. And then you have the next wave, which is going to be the prospects from last year, I think, outside of Davis, like Solometo, Chandler, Lonnie White. You even want to go ahead and start thinking after Lonnie White. You want, because being the Pirates and a team that doesn't spend a ton of money in free agency or period, you have to continue to do this thing. And it's something that made the Rays successful for so long and has had made them so successful for so long. It's something the Tigers made successful for a very long time. The Athletics even have been successful with doing it. The Royals were successful with doing it for a pretty lengthy amount of time as well. You don't have to spend money to win. Would it be nice? Yes. Go look at the payrolls of all the teams that have won a World Series over the last two decades. It's good to spend money. But when you're in a position like the Pirates are, where you don't usually do it, continuously bring the prospects in. And that's what I think the Pirates are going to try to do here. They're going to try to mix MLB-ready talent with talent lower in the system to kind of create a balance so you don't create that time or that crunch of roster space that he alluded to. And guys, those answers were great. We're going to continue to do Twitter Tuesday from here on out. I hope you guys all enjoyed this live episode of Locked On Pirates. You know where to find the podcast. You can find it here on YouTube, Spotify, Odyssey, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. And now that you checked me out, go check out Lindsey Crosby over there at Locked On MLB Prospects and make him your second listen of the day. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Locked On Pirates. The Pirates will be going live here at 7:05 pretty soon. It's going to be Jose Quintana versus Patrick Corbin at DC in Nationals Park. And the Pirates, I think, of course, will be winning tonight and splitting the series. And I think they win tomorrow and win the series, but we will see. Kegels Bagel says, let's raise the Jolly Roger tonight. I agree, man. And with that said, I will see you guys on the flip side tomorrow.